Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy, Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. It's the Wednesday edition of Locked On Rams. You know what that means. Crossover edition. We've got Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints on the show. We had a great conversation earlier today before the trade deadline. We'll get to that in a second. Before we get there, guys, make sure to go give the show a follow, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast. Jump on social media, interact with us. LA underscore Rambling Bear is my personal on Twitter. Locked On Rams is the show. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Facebook group. We've got a giveaway going on right now, so go find your local social media account and make sure you're entered 2 tickets to the game versus Seattle, our next home game at the Coliseum here in November. Your boy has got you back. I'm buying tickets, baby. And hey, there's no rules against if you want your plus one to be me. I'm just throwing it out there. But I'm excited. Hopefully we get someone here local that wins those tickets. And if not, we'll hear some great adventure of someone driving across country or flying in for the game. I'd be more than happy if that was the case. But more fun stuff like that coming up. We've got great sponsors of the show. We've got great fans, great listeners. So I want to make sure we keep getting some fun things to interact with you guys and to give you guys some swag. But let's get to the breaking news. Breaking, breaking, breaking news. Yeah, here. I do my own sound effects. Pretty good at it. But just moments ago, the Rams make a very last-minute move for Dante Fowler Jr., DN of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Here's what the deal looks like. The Jags will get a 2019 third-round pick and a 2020 fifth-round pick. Rams then end up getting Dante Fowler in return. If you don't remember, he was a third overall pick in the 2015 draft out of Florida. He's got incredible speed off the edge. So far in his career, he's recorded 14 sacks, 14 tackles for loss, 3 forced fumbles, 4 fumble recoveries, 22 quarterback hits so far. This season, he added to that a couple sacks, one of those fumbles, one of those fumble recoveries against Tom Brady in a big game that the Jacksonville Jaguars won, and he was a big part of that. So hopefully he brings some of that to our defense, who is, you know, as of late, been really turning it up, putting more pressure on the quarterback. Just another weapon to throw in there on defense. He will be a free agent at the end of the year, so the Rams have, you know what, the next 8 games to figure out if they want to make this more of a long-term commitment or if this is kind of, like we talked about yesterday on the podcast, that baseball analogy of right at the trade deadline, you got a great team, and you try to go add one more piece to really push us over the edge and really make that run for the Super Bowl. Now, the one thing I found interesting in this move is obviously you have to clear some space for him. You've got to drop somebody to create a roster spot for him. And that person was Jamon Brown. The Los Angeles Rams now have 7 linemen that are active. Andrew Whitworth, Saffold, Sullivan, Blythe, Havenstein, as well as rookie reserves Joe Noteboom and Brian Allen. I guess with Jamon Brown, there's been some talks that they were trying to get a trade done for a late round pick, but nothing came to. So they'll release him. He's going to have to clear waivers, which I doubt he'll do. I'm assuming there's some team out there that needs some help at O-line. Jamon Brown definitely can play in this league, definitely can be a starter in this league. Just wasn't a good fit for him after he had to sit out those 2 weeks due to the suspension. Kind of lost his job. It happens in the NFL. But if he clears waivers, there's a potential for bringing him back on the practice squad. I just don't see that happening. We'll definitely update that throughout the week. But yeah, baby, you got to love it. Dante Fowler, the man, the myth, the legend, joining the team. Todd Gurley's already retweeting. Everyone's excited to have him. He's excited to be here. Things have turned a little dysfunctional in Jacksonville. We know they were overseas and a couple people got arrested. They tried to place him there, but he came out on Twitter and said he was not there. He does have a history of some off-field issues, but that's been no problem so far for Sean McVay, Wade Phillips, and this organization taking in those people with a little bit of checkered past and being able to turn them into great players, great leaders, great community people. I think this will be just the same. You heard McVay talk about it yesterday on our podcast, talking about how this group is special, how they like each other, how everyone in that locker room gets along. I can only imagine him coming in and fitting in great into this locker room. Before we get over that interview, I did want to talk about a couple other trades. There was some big movement today. Demaryius Thomas on the move. He's going to Houston to join DeAndre Hopkins. That's going to be a dangerous 1-2. Golden Tate has been traded from the Lions over to the Eagles. And then, you know, our MVP of last week, Ty Montgomery. Yeah, he got traded. It wasn't a big surprise. He has now been shipped out to Baltimore. They're in much need of some running back help, so he'll probably fill in that role. Kind of crazy, though. If he takes a knee, is he still a Packer today? I don't know. I think so. A lot happens quickly in the NFL, especially around the trade deadline. But we are super excited that Dante Fowler is now a Ram, adding that edge rush that we've been needing for a while. All right, guys, I'm going to cut the chit-chat. I'm going to get over to our crossover because I had a great conversation today with Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints. So without further ado, I'm going to throw it over there. He just kicks right in to the first question. We'll be back tomorrow with Vinny Bonsignor, break down this whole trade scenario. Until next time, Rams Nation, peace. Enjoy the crossover. It may not mean nothing to y'all. All right, Ram fans, before we get to our next segment, I'm really excited to talk to you about our newest partner, Metro Infinity. You can find them at 821 East Central Ave, Monrovia, California, just off the 210 in Monrovia. You have to swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used Infinities. They are the only dealer in California that's family owned and has been in business over 25 years. They come in as the number one volume dealer in California. One of my favorite things about Metro Infinity, not only are they just have great selection of cars, but if you don't like coming to the dealership, no problem. They will bring a new car and the paperwork to your home, office, wherever you guys want to meet. They're going to make sure that you are extremely comfortable during the whole transaction. Believe me, they take pride in not being your typical car dealer where, you know, it takes hours to buy and they play games back and forth with the price and it's just a hassle experience. That is not them. They want you to have a luxury car buying experience, and trust me, these guys get it, and that's what they deliver. Make sure to mention Locked On. They're going to give you another $500 off any car purchase. That's right, $500 off just by saying you listen to Locked On. They're fans of the show. We're fans of them. You can reach them at 629-599-7510 or go to their awesome website, which is metroinfinity.com. Again, that's metroinfinity.com. Right now, you can lease a brand new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with navigation with $1,000 down, $325 a month plus tax. That's right. That's it. $1,000 and a low monthly payment, and you're driving out in the brand new Infiniti Q50. And then don't forget to mention Locked On. You get $500 off. Again, that is Metro Infinity off the 210 in Monrovia. Go get yourself a brand new Infiniti. You can thank me later. So I don't plan on stopping at
all. I want this shit forever, mine, ever mine, ever mine. All right, Brad, so y'all are coming to town here at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, one of the toughest places to play in the NFL. So I want to know, what is it that you're looking for when you have the Saints, when the Saints have the ball on the field?
Oh, man, you're right. That is a tough place to play. But coming out of the Coliseum this last week, having a lot of Packers fan, it was almost like we were playing a road game. So in a weird way, it was like good anticipation coming for this game. But it's going to be a challenge, man. I mean, going down there, it's a different type of atmosphere. Drew Brees always seems to play a little bit better. He's coming off probably one of his worst performances of his career as a Saint. I think he threw like 100 and something yards as his lowest output. Had his first interception of the season. So you kind of feel good about coming in to maybe when he's having an off game, or maybe the opposite, that kind of scares you. He got his worst game out of the way. But the Rams defense is going to be big for us. We know our offense can put up points. It really comes down to stopping Drew Brees and that offense and that dual-headed monster of that running back game. Obviously, Kamara seems to be the lead there. What's your take on Ingram since he's been back? How's he been really fitting back into this offense?
I mean, he's pretty much just slipped right back in. I know he's not getting like 100-yard games that he had last year and everything like that, and I totally feel that. But just in terms of like the way he's been fitting in and what he's been able to contribute to the offense so far, it's like he hasn't even missed a beat. Just in terms of being able to, let's say, help set the pace for the game and everything like that, help control tempo on the ground. I mean, you saw what happened against Baltimore, you know, a 20-play drive would not have been possible for the Saints weeks 1 through 4 because right. you have to run, you know, you got to run the ball to be able to maintain a drive like that. And if you were just running with Alvin Kamara, as good as he is, you can't really put that many carries on top of him like that. So definitely having Mark Ingram back has been able to help the Saints be able to extend drives and be able to do what they need to do.
Yeah, and it's going to be an interesting thing to watch in this game as you talk about that running game that you guys have, because the Rams, although been better in the past couple weeks, have really struggled against the run, even though, like I mentioned, the last 3 weeks we've held, you know, an individual runner under 100 yards. The Packers did go over 100 as a team, but just barely. So they're starting to gain confidence. Obviously, we all know about Aaron Donald, the pressure that he can put on, and Breeze is going to have to get the ball out fast. But when he does, our secondary has been a little bit of a question mark. I saw you tweet out that Mike Thomas is going to send Marcus Peters to the bench on Sunday. And I'd love to hear you talk a little bit more about that, because, you know, you got Rams Nation listening, and I bet a lot of people are on your side. But talk to me a little bit more about that.
Oh, man, it was mostly just me throwing shade at Marcus Peters, but it's a little bit at Marcus Peters, a little bit at Josh Norman. But you remember there was the whole thing that went that took place between Josh Norman and Michael Thomas during the Monday Night Football game against Washington at home in New Orleans, which was the game that, you know, Drew Brees set his record for and everything like that. But behind that curtain was also the fact that Michael Thomas and Josh Norman were just going at it for the entire game, both as players, but also just like jawing as people and just like going back and forth. The typical Josh Norman type of game.
Right.
What I'm aware of with Marcus Peters is that Marcus Peters will go, he'll be that person. Like, he can get into your head. He can be that person that, you know, really can talk that trash and then just get into your head and affect the game from a mental capacity. And he's also not afraid. We saw what happened last year when he went out to defend his cousin Marshawn Lynch and everything. It's like, he's not afraid. That's the big thing with him, is that he's entirely unafraid. And so the joke, or really what the thing is that, I mean, he's been having some trouble. He's been struggling, with the exception of the San Francisco game, in which he only played 47 snaps. He's given up a passer rating of over 100 in each of those games. And then he's given up touchdowns. I mean, he gave up 3 touchdowns alone just against Seattle and everything. And so, you know, he had given up 5 touchdowns over 3 games and things. And then in this last game against Green Bay, he gave up 149 yards and 7 catches. And so the joke just being that that's going to be a really fun matchup to watch. And if Michael Thomas wins it, Marcus Peters does just as good a job at getting in his own head as he does getting into other people's heads, if that makes sense. And so that could get him a portion to where he's like, all right, let's just chill you out for a little while, and then we'll send you back out there. But that matchup between Marcus Peters and Michael Thomas is going to be big, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And you're right, Marcus Peters has struggled, and it hasn't slowed down his trash talking on the field. he got beat one of the first plays of the games by, I can't remember what Packer wide receiver it was, but it was like a 50-yard play up the left side, and he got up from that play and went right in the guy's face and started talking junk. And I'm like, dude, you kind of just got burnt, but it's never going to change his game. He's always going to try to continue to be inside your head, even when he's given up some big points. We've hit this stretch of playing these quarterbacks that are just amazing. Obviously, you mentioned the 3 touchdowns that he gave up against Russell Wilson, who really just took advantage of his aggressiveness and him kind of cheating, looking for that interception. And then again, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is a brilliant quarterback. Here we come into Drew Brees in his home, and he knows how to manipulate his eyes and work the ball down and work a pump fake. So I'm really hoping that he can stay true and stick more on Mike Thomas than keeping his eyes in the backfield. I love his aggressiveness, but it hasn't paid off. My buddy actually has a bet with the Seahawks podcast about who will have the most interceptions this year. He's got Marcus Peters. Can't remember who they've got in their secondary, but he's down right now, and he's sitting here struggling going, dude, Marcus Peters, my man, like, you got to get one for me. So maybe this is the week that he gets one. Drew Brees finally threw an interception, so maybe that door has been opened to kind of start that parade of interceptions. But, you know, it's a tough game on the road. We're going to need our secondary big time. I mean, you talked about Michael Thomas and how dangerous he can be. Who else on the wide receiving core do the Rams need to look out in the secondary for?
Yeah, so unfortunately, that wide receiver spot opposite Michael Thomas has been a little bit of a struggle for the Saints so far this year. Ted Ginn Jr. went to injured reserve. And so right now it's been rookie wide receiver out of UCF, Traquan Smith, who has played some pretty okay games so far. He had that big game where he had 3 receptions, 2 touchdowns on 11 yards against Washington. But other than that, it's been a little tough for the Saints to find some production outside of a wide receiver opposite Michael Thomas. And so right now, with today being the trade deadline, there's a lot of wide receiver talks, there's a lot of slot cornerback talks, all of that. So, I mean, right now I would definitely say the combination of Traquan Smith and Cameron Meredith might be able to create some kind of a push. But right now there's a big question mark opposite Michael Thomas for that wide receiver spot.
Man, Cameron Meredith, thought we were going to see some big numbers from him this year, obviously coming off that contract, being picked up out of the Bears, but it was a little bit of risk. I think he was coming off that injury, so something to definitely watch for. But man, if there's a team that's going to give you a big game on the wide receiver, right now it's been our secondary. Hopefully they can tighten up, win that turnover battle. But as we talked of, New Orleans doesn't cough the ball up too much. What we're going to do really quick is we're going to step aside, but before we do that, we're going to talk about mybookie.ag. I know you talk about it a lot on your podcast. We do over here at Locked On Rams. They're an awesome, awesome supporter of the show. Guys, go check them out, mybookie.ag. It's not always who you're betting on, but where you are betting at. This place is 100% legit. They're giving you guys promo codes. If you enter LOCKEDON25, you get $25 on top of your deposit, no matter if you're a new member, an old member, or whatever. Go get some free money. Play some bets. We love to do back and forth. So what we're going to do now is we're going to pick a couple lines from this week, and we're just going to talk them out and, you know, basically say how we would take the bet here. So we'll start with the I Don't Care Bowl, which is the Thursday Night Football, Oakland Raiders, San Francisco 49ers. I think together they have 2 wins. It's going to be a tough one to watch on Thursday, but we're football fans, so we'll do it. So we'll make it fun. San Francisco 49ers are the favorite in this game. They're the home team, -3. Who you got?
I'm going to go against this right here, actually. I'm going to take Oakland. I'm going to say that they're going to figure out a way to get this done, and they're going to figure out a way to get this win. I mean, look, I don't understand how this ended up on Thursday Night Football. By the way, I don't understand how this ended up being a national game. I guess at one point it was Jimmy Garoppolo versus Derek Carr, but even in that scenario, it was Jimmy Garoppolo versus Derek Carr. So I don't understand how it got here. But I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take the Raiders. I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to take the Raiders on this one.
Yeah, I think the millions of dollars spent on the coach and then obviously the quarterback, this seemed like it potentially could be an exciting matchup, but that's what's the problem about the NFL schedule is, and the exciting thing about the flex schedule at the end of the year is they can basically go, well, we were totally off on that one. and this is a case of that. This is one of those where they thought it was going to be a good one. I'm with you, though. I keep thinking the Oakland Raiders are going to turn the page. I think they have a better quarterback in this matchup, at least. They're getting the points. I like taking some points in a crap toss-up game. So I'll go with you. Oakland Raiders +3 on the road. Let's shock the world. We'll move on to the next game. This is a flip. This is actually a good game. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers heading into Baltimore. Same spread, 3 points here. Baltimore Ravens are favored in this one. What do you got?
This one, I'm going to go against the favorite here too. And I'm going to pick the Pittsburgh Steelers in this one. And the reason why is because the Ravens have been struggling over these last 2 weeks. I'm not saying that the Saints broke the Ravens. I'm just saying that the Saints might have broken the Ravens because the Ravens lose to the Saints at home and then they lose away to Carolina, another NFC South team. And so now that they're playing these more effective offenses, that defense is starting to look not so scary. Remember that this is the team that the Saints drove for 10 minutes and 2 seconds on in a 20 play drive to start off a game, which of course didn't yield any points, but still they proved that you can play smash mouth football against this team. And I think that the Steelers have the ability to do that. So I'm going to go against, and I'm going to take the Steelers on this one, +2.
I like it. And you know what? I'm going to piggyback it again. I don't think our third pick will be the same, but these first two will be. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh Steelers too. I was never in on the hype train on the Baltimore Ravens when people were putting them in the top 3 in NFL power rankings and things like that. I think you said it best. They finally are starting to play some good offenses. They're hitting some teams in their division. It's a tough division. Pittsburgh Steelers kind of on a roll. Another team that can put up lots of points. And also, their defense isn't the defense we used to remember, but at the same time can make big plays when they need it. I'll take the points on this one, even on the road. Baltimore showed that they can be beaten at home. I'll take Pittsburgh Steelers +3 in this one. And then the game of the week. I mean, this is by far looking at the schedule. This is the one that everyone's going to be watching. I'm pretty sure it's the NFL National Game of the Week as well. They're holding it out to the very end. It's a 1:25 West Coast kickoff. We all got to wait through a whole bunch of games in the morning to watch this one. But it is the Rams traveling to New Orleans to hit it up with your Saints. It is actually a shock for us. We are now the underdog for the first time this season. We are a +1 on the road at New Orleans. Your thoughts on this matchup and how this is going to shake out for my bookie?
Yeah, I mean, I talk about this all the time on here, but what, you know, when you see a shift from like +1 for one team, and then you see that shift all the way over to -5 for the home team, that has just as much to do with the home field advantage as it has to do with the team matchup. And so I'm gonna take the Saints here. And there was a moment in my heart that I was like, no, I probably shouldn't. Like, I should probably be a little more realistic. But I really think that the Saints do have the ability to win this one, because look, more than likely it's going to become a shootout. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Saints defense here in a second, but more than likely it's going to become a shootout. And if I have to take a choice in a shootout, I'm going to err on the side of Drew Brees and Sean Payton at home in the dome. And I'll give you an extra one too. I'm actually going to take the over on this one. The over under market right now is set at 60. I'm going to say that it's going to be a 34-31. So I'm taking the over on this one.
I like the double down. I like the double down. And you're right, I may piggyback on the double down, because I'm going to say the Rams +1. I mean, I get points for my Rams right now. I mean, I haven't seen that in forever. I've been having to earn these. I mean, we came in, I think it was 9 versus Green Bay. It was 8 on the road in Seattle. I mean, I've been having to earn these spreads through my bookie with the Rams. So if I'm getting a point, I'm definitely taking it. I think this is a must-win game for – not must-win game. I think this is a really prove-it-to-me game for the Rams. They just came off of winning, you know, versus Green Bay. A big name. Not the record doesn't really show to the name that they have that you kind of think when you get that win. But people are more blaming – Ty Montgomery for fumbling than us making that play at the end of the game. Oh, right. We got lucky. Right. We, you know, he would have scored. It's like, well, we don't really know that. We kind of know that, but you know, it didn't happen. So I think this is a good prove it game to the rest of the league to be like, look, we're going to go on the road, face a tough NFC opponent, a team that we may see in the playoffs and potentially to go to the Super Bowl. If you can go on the road and get a victory, Sean McVay's record on the road is just ridiculous since coming to league. I think he's 12-1, and that's counting that game in London. And man, so I think this is kind of goes into what the Rams are hoping to. They've got this chip on their shoulder, which is weird for an undefeated team to come in and have this. They've had it all season. I love the way they're playing. Our defense is stepping it up, and I think if our offense, like you said, in a shootout, and you'll take Brees, and I don't blame you for that, but I'm sitting here, and I'll take Sean McVay in that as well. So I knew we were going to go against each other there, but I will take the over with you. I saw that 60 points, and I was thinking that is easy money in this game. So I'll take the over with you there. Guys, what we're going to do is we're going to step aside, get a quick word from some sponsors. We'll be back on the other side. Crossover edition, Locked On Rams, Locked On Saints. We're going to talk some more defense matchups and more on the other side. Understand nothing was done for me, so I don't plan on stopping at all. I want this shit forever, man, ever, man, ever, man. Shutting shit down in the mall. It's selling there, girl, she the one for me. All right, we are back. Wednesday edition, crossover edition, probably my favorite part of the week. We've got Locked On Saints, Ross Jackson with us. I am Bear Motter, Locked On Rams. Guys, we're super excited about this game. We talked some Saints offense on the other side. What are they going to do against this Rams defense? Let's flip the script. We've got a high-powered offense. We just talked about it in the MyBookie segment. This thing could be a shootout. Sean McVay, very comfortable on the road. Talk to me about the New Orleans Saints defense and how they're going to match up against all these weapons. We're getting Cooper Kupp back, which is going to be huge for us. You got 3 dangerous wide receivers. You got a dangerous quarterback and a potential MVP candidate in Gurley. What does the Saints defense do to kind of shut this down?
Well, the big test, the big, big, big test is going to be the Saints secondary against those 3 wide receivers. And it's kind of it's ironic to say which one's going to be the big test, because every test that the Rams offense presents is absolutely humongous. And so but the big matchup that the Saints kind of need to figure out a way to win or at least strike even on is going to be that secondary versus those 3 wide receivers. Getting Cooper Kupp back, like you said, is huge. Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, and we're very familiar with Brandon Cooks here in New Orleans, or in New Orleans, right. Being able to lock down, or not even lock down, but being able to go, let's say, stride for stride, which each of those receivers is not going to be easy at all. You know, you saw the Saints last week struggle in the slot in particular because they were, you know, the Vikings were doing a really good job at taking advantage of matchups, knowing that PJ Williams was in the slot, getting Stephon Diggs, getting Adam Thielen, taking snaps from the slot and getting him matched up on PJ, getting those receivers matched up on PJ Williams was huge. With this game, if you have all three of those wide receivers back for Los Angeles, you don't have to game plan for it. You have all three of them on the field. One of them is going to be on PJ Williams. Of course, the Saints made the trade for Eli Apple to bring him in from New York. They benched Ken Crawley. He was inactive last week, which is just kind of heavenly feeling for a second, because it wasn't, you know, 300 yard wide receivers or two 150 yard wide receivers. Yeah, it was just two 100 yard wide receivers, which in New Orleans is unfortunately for this so far this season is an improvement. And so, you know, being able to see Eli Apple a little bit, be able to play a little bit faster, have a little bit more understanding of the language, because of course they traded for him at the beginning of the week, and then 6 days later he was starting opposite Marshon Lattimore. So, you know, giving him the opportunity now to settle in over the course of these couple of weeks and then play a home game in the dome is going to be big for him too, getting a feel for what that is, because it's still going to kind of feel like an away game for him, if that makes sense, because
right.
he's still trying, you know, because he's still trying to learn and everything. So those are going to be the big matchups that we like. The Saints just have to find a way to shore up the secondary a little bit. They've got Obi Melifonwu over from he was a Connecticut draft pick, second round draft pick from Connecticut by the Raiders, who they recently released. He's visiting the Saints today, so they're working on it. They're trying to figure out how to shore up the secondary. Trade deadline's coming up, and so coming up very quickly, and so they're in talks for a lot of cornerbacks and other slot cornerbacks in particular to try to shore up the secondary as well. And then the other big matchup is going to be number one rush defense against number one rush offense to see which one breaks. And I think that Todd Gurley is going to have the first 100-yard game against the Saints. I think that should be expected, but it just depends on how much it is a bend and don't break situation for the Saints rush defense.
Yeah, and I think they're going to lean on that to really hope that the D is going to come up in hopes of stopping Todd Gurley. And really use that play action that Jared Goff in his last 2 years has really been dominant in the play action game. Because when you have a weapon like Todd Gurley that you have to, you know, hold accountable, it makes that play action a lot easier. I expect some screens to Todd Gurley as well, trying to find other ways to give him the ball. They're averaging 5 screens a game, but last game they had 0, which was a big stun for us. We kept going, get the ball to Todd Gurley. They were throwing it to him, but not through the screen game. There must have been something they saw in the Green Bay Packers D that they kind of stayed away from it. But, you know, for our sake, you hope that, you know, New Orleans is watching that film and kind of gets caught up and forgets about the screen. But, you know, I know these guys are professionals and they're going to, you know, do more than just one game of tape kind of watching this guy. But you're right. That's going to be a fun matchup to watch. Todd Gurley, even though he's killing it in touchdowns, he leads the NFL in rushing by almost 190 yards. It's crazy. Right. Last couple games, he hasn't had that, like, breakout running performance, which – it's still mind-boggling because he's so dominant still. But like I mentioned, he's been working more in the passing game. He had a career-high or a season-high 6 catches last game, 5 of them which either went for a first down or a touchdown. So super effective when they're getting the ball that way. I think, as you mentioned in your secondary, Eli Apple, the addition to him is going to help. But my, you know, question really is how fast can he get into this defense? You mentioned that it was kind of similar lingo and that it should be an easier transition for him. How did he perform last week? I didn't really get a chance to watch him too much. Should we expect him to be at 100% in this defense, or is it still some growth period there?
I think there's definitely still going to be a growth period. Anytime that you bring in a player from, you know, one system to another system midseason, it takes a couple of games and everything. And I'm not just saying that because it's the Saints team. I would say that for any team that's making a trade right now in this situation. You know, we see this at the trade deadline all the time, because it's always that conversation of our trade deadline transactions worth it, because it takes a second for the adjustment to happen and all of that. But when it comes to Eli Apple, he actually played pretty okay. I mean, he allowed every time that he was targeted, he allowed a catch, but he only allowed 79 yards, didn't allow any touchdowns. He hasn't allowed a touchdown at all this season, which that alone is an improvement over Ken Crawley, who had allowed 4 by this point in the season already, and multiple ones in a game. And so you know, all in all, he's been an improvement, even just within the 1 week of preparation that he's had. But I definitely expect to see him take another step forward, if not just out of time, out of necessity, because this is a game to where he would absolutely have to step up. During, you know, during the game against Minnesota, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, and then after that, you've got Laquon Treadwell, who, you know, it has struggled in terms of his college to NFL transition still. He's still in the midst of that. However, coming into this game, you've got three very solid starting wide receivers that you have to be able to guard and pay attention to.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's really the key for any defense, and that's why we really missed Cooper Kupp over the last couple weeks. We've had, you know, Josh Reynolds had two touchdowns last game on three catches, and really most of those came in or near the red zone, but he stepped up. But we're missing our guy to really make that threat of three players on the wide receiver that you really have to guard. They're so good at reading a defense. And Sean McVay, I mean, just play calling, putting his guys in position to make plays. New Orleans is near the bottom of the league as far as turnovers go. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we saw some in that last game, which were huge to that victory up in Minnesota. Talk to me about this defense, and is this something that you think they can turn the page on, or have they just shown, you know, lack of, you know, really being able to get it done as far as the turnover game?
I think a big part of the turnover game has been a lack of being able to cover. I mean, I keep going back to the secondary, but that's really a huge part of it. They have a lot of trouble guarding, particularly on double moves, and a lot of trouble guarding on crossing patterns over the middle in particular. And so teams see that, and teams are game planning to present that to this defense. And as long as they continue to struggle with it, they're going to have trouble creating turnovers in the passing game. You know, the idea of, you know, causing fumbles and peanut punching and all of that, that's something that this Saints defense has worked on since Rob Ryan was in town, those horrible, horrible years, and then moving forward through the Dennis Allen era, if you will. So that's not new for them. So causing fumbles seems to be the most successful way that they can cause turnovers, but they need to be able to cause turnovers in the passing game as well. And a lot of that comes down to the pass rush. The pass rush for the Saints has actually been really successful these last couple of games. If you skip the Baltimore game, I don't know what happened. The Baltimore was down three starters, basically, or three different players on the offensive line, essentially starting people that had absolutely no experience. And the Saints got two quarterback hits on them. It wasn't their game for whatever reason that week. I don't know if it had to do with the conditions in which they were playing under and things like that. In Baltimore, it was cold, but really that shouldn't be an excuse when you're playing in the trenches. Meanwhile, in this last game, they get four sacks, they get nine quarterback hits on Kirk Cousins, and did exactly what they needed to do to rock Kirk Cousins, because Kirk Cousins is a very good quarterback, but when you get in his head and when you get him off balance, he plays like he's off balance,
right?
And that's always been a thing for him. And so they need to be able to, you know, I consider Jerry Goff a lot more mentally tough than I consider Kirk Cousins. But if they're able to get to him, and if they're able to start to affect those passing lanes, and if they, you know, they do a really good job at batting balls at the line of scrimmage as well. So if they're able to take advantage of that, and then be able to get Jared Goff to a place where he's playing rushed, because I doubt you're going to get him to a place that he's playing off balance unless you're getting, you know, several hits on him throughout the game. But if they can get him playing rushed, and they might be able to help take advantage of some of this. They like to try to get to the quarterback, the Saints do, within the 2.5 mark of the quarterback's drop back. After that point, they feel like the quarterback has had too much time. So everything is about getting to the quarterback as quickly as possible. And with people with the talent like Cameron Jordan on the edge, Sheldon Rankins, who has become his prolific pass rushing self like he was in Louisville finally in the interior line, and then the shared snaps over on the opposite side on the end slot between Alex Okafor and, you know, rising defensive end rookie edge rusher Marcus Davenport, they can get to the quarterback quickly. They have the speed to do it. They just need to be able to win at the line of scrimmage, and hopefully that will start to create more turnovers down the road for them as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun matchup to watch, because the Rams offensive line struggled in the first half against the Packers, but kind of picked it up. I said yesterday on the podcast, once they gave Jared Goff protection, I think it was like 19 of 22 when he had a clean pocket, and he threw for 244 yards and two touchdowns. So when he's got time, he's a dangerous guy back there. You talked about his toughness. I think that comes from, you know, when he was at Cal and his freshman, he went like 1-9, and he's got beat up back there. And then his first year in the NFL, his first seven games, he got beat up. You know, half of those were with Jeff Fisher, and we had no line then. But we have an offensive line now. We got a tough quarterback. It's going to be a fun matchup to watch if he gets time to maybe try to take advantage of that secondary you keep going back to. And then, you know, Todd Gurley going against one of the best run defenses in the NFL. Plenty of matchups, plenty of storylines. You talked about the return of Brandon Cooks. I know he's got to have this one circled. Really excited to come home to the team that drafted him. The first team that spent a first-round pick on him. There were multiples after that. But we're excited to see his return there. And I'm sure the crowd will give him some love because he had some great performances there in New Orleans. Always a great crowd to play in front of. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside, get one last word from some sponsors. We'll be back on the other side to close this thing out, talk some predictions, put some final thoughts in. We'll be back with the Wednesday crossover on the Lockdown Podcast Network. Understand nothing was done for me, so I don't plan on stopping at all. I want this shit forever, never mind. I'm shutting shit down in the mall. All right, everybody, we are back. We are back for this Locked On Crossover Wednesday episode. This is Russ Jackson. I'm joined by Bear Motter here for Locked On Rams, Locked On Saints, talking about this Rams versus Saints matchup in New Orleans. We talked about what to look for when the Saints offense is on the ball. I'm sorry, when the Saints offense is on the field. And then we came back to talk about the Rams offense versus the Saints defense. Now we're going to just sort of put in some final thoughts on the game and then talk about some predictions. So, Bearman, what you got for me? What are some final thoughts that you had before this game? You know, I've been living on these final thoughts the whole season, but Sean McVay, it's my favorite Sean McVay stat. When he wins the time of possession battle, the man is undefeated. You can't beat him. When he holds the clock, when he holds the ball, and he gets to do what he wants to do on the offense side of the ball, he wins the game. So I think being on the road is going to be a huge point for us to not only, you know, get points early, talk about turnovers, kind of winning that battle, all the important matchups. But if we can control the time and win that time of possession and not let Drew Brees go and have, you know, 40 pass attempts, even though, you know, he's coming off of, you know, 125 yards or whatever it was in the last game. But that's what scares me about it. You know, when he has an off game, I wish that was our game. So I think really it comes down to controlling that clock, winning the turnover battle. If you can do those two things in the Sean McVay era, he's been pretty unstoppable. So I think on the road it's going to be important. But and then as we talked earlier in the game, it's just one of those mental games for the Rams that is going to go so far if they can go and win this. And it's funny, I was actually right before we jumped on here, I was kind of watching some of the Rams Instagram pictures and posts they were putting up. They had a Halloween party last night. They look calm, cool, collected. They're having a good time. This team has something about them, around them, that they're not overthinking this game. They're still having fun. That young energy that Sean McVay pumps into this team, you can see it not only on Sundays, but Monday through Saturday as well. These guys have something special. But I know the Saints feel the same thing. I saw Mark Ingram basically said, we're different. We're a different team. We're excited for the Rams to come in town. So talk to me about you know, what's going on down there in New Orleans.
I'm glad that you brought that up because this is exactly what I wanted to talk about. This Saints team has found so many different ways to win, and that's exactly what Mark Ingram said. We are built different, and that is a huge, huge – I mean, look, both of these teams come in with swagger, big-time attitude, big-time confidence, and I love it because that's what this is supposed to feel like. You should have two teams coming in feeling like they can win a big game, and this is a big game. This is in the middle of the season, don't get me wrong, but this game could decide home field advantage in the playoffs potentially. And yeah, so this is a big game. There's a reason to come into this game and say, yeah, we're gonna win, or, you know, come in with some confidence. But the big thing I want to talk about, I have a little stat for you too in the midst of the Sean Bowl here, Sean Payton versus Sean McVay. Nice. but with Drew Brees here, last season Drew Brees threw for under 200 yards twice, once against Detroit, which the Saints managed to still score 52 points, and then once again against Buffalo, where they managed to score 47 points. So the game after that, Drew Brees, the first time, threw for 331 yards and a touchdown. He also had two interceptions, so let me glaze over that. 331 yards and a touchdown, but two interceptions. And in the game after the Buffalo games, where he threw under 200 yards, he threw for 385 yards and two touchdowns. So the pattern here suggests that when Drew Brees throws for under 200 yards, he comes back and he has a pretty decent game. So I'm looking at him to come back and have exactly that, but then also be able to get to rely on his backfield and get them involved in the passing game as well, which is going to help sort of inflate those passing numbers a little bit differently than what you saw against Minnesota. So I'm looking for Drew Brees to come back and have a great game following what wasn't a bad game. I mean, he still threw for 78%. He just didn't throw. You know, he just never threw for over. He never threw a pass in that game for over 20 yards. That was his long and stuff. So he just wasn't forcing it down the field. He went 18 for 23 in that game with a completion percentage of 78.3. So, I mean, he's not coming off of a bad game. So don't let me say that, but he's definitely coming off of, you know, a game of under 200 yards, his least amount of yardage output since he's been in New Orleans, the least amount of passing yardage that the Saints have ever had in a win. And so I expect him to come back and have a much bigger game like the ones we were seeing earlier this season.
Well, if I can sign up for that 300 yards, one touchdown, two interception game, I'll sign up for that right now, because you're right. Drew Brees coming off those games has shown that's not the type of quarterback he is, and he can put up some big numbers. But if we can get a couple picks out of him, I will sign up for that right now, because it is scary. You never know. You don't want to see a 303 touchdown, no interception game from Drew Brees, and you know that is very capable as well, especially at home. I did see something, and I don't know if this is – if I wrote this down correct, but it was on PTI the other day, and they said that, you know, everyone kind of thinks that the Saints are unbeatable when you go down to New Orleans, but in their last 5 years, they're 20-15 at home. I know they had a couple rough stretches there, but that kind of gave me this good feeling of, like, you know what, they can be beaten at home, even though it's a tough place to play, even though when you think of Drew Brees in a dome, you think, oh, 45 points and, you know, take the over, right? But a little bit different coming into this game. And, you know, we talked about many, many great matchups in this great game, many awesome storylines. You mentioned the Sean Bowl. That's another one. That's going to be fun. Two offensive mind coaches going at it. So super fun one we have on our hands. I can't wait. You know, shoot me a tweet during the game if you want to talk some trash. I might be a little bit too nervous to respond at one point. But, guys, make sure to go give us a follow on Twitter. Find the show. We're on Spotify and iTunes and Google Podcasts. You can find me at Locked On Rams, LA_RamblingBear is my personal. Ross Jackson, you can find him at Ross Jackson ASC. That stands for All Saints Considered. Great stuff you're putting up there, by the way. And then Locked On Saints as well. So reach out to us. Tell us what you think. Subscribe to the show. Leave a review. All that good stuff. We love all of it. Before we get out of here, and you don't have to, because I know some hosts keep this to the very end, but if you're willing, I'd love to hear a score prediction from you as well.
Oh yeah, no, I'll drop that. That's no problem at all. So like I said, I'm taking that over right on this game. So I'm going to go Saints 34-31. I'm going to give the Saints a W. Like I said, in my heart at one point, I was like, maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to say Saints win 34-31 at home.
All right. I'm not too far off. We're both taking the over. I've got 38-31 Rams. Which is, you know, might be a stretch here, but I think, you know, these scores have been weird the last couple weeks. We just won by 2 points. I think there's going to be another big Rams conversion where we get to hold the ball away from Drew Brees. I'm really, really banking on Marcus Peters listening to this podcast, being encouraged, being hearing all the trash that's being talked, and going out there, maybe getting a pick six to wrap this thing up. That would be my bold prediction, and it's very bold because, like you said, he's giving up touchdowns the other way, not so much what we saw week one when he returned one to the house, but it's going to be a great matchup. Me and you both are expecting wins for our team, so I'm excited to see this. We'll keep in touch on Sunday, and like you said off air before we got here, hopefully this is a nice little preview for the NFC Championship. We're both in the LA area. We can get together, do a live recording, and we'll do it playoff edition.
Love it. Can't wait.
All right, take it easy. Thanks for the chat.
Absolutely, man. You too. It may not mean nothing to y'all, but understand nothing was done for me. So I don't plan on stopping at all. I want this shit forever, mine, ever mine, ever mine. I'm shutting shit down in the mall. It's selling there, girl, she the one for me. And I ain't even planning the call. I want this shit forever, mine, ever mine. Ever Mr. West is in the building. Ain't no question who about the kill. I used to have hood dreams, big fame.